This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Like a fight broke between Pakistanis and Indians, or between Pakistanis and Arabs. He's Arabi, he's Pakistani, he's Indian, he's Somali, he's this and that. We don't have such thing in Islam. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most righteous amongst you are amongst yani. Inna akramakum indallahi. The ones who are more honored by Allah are those who are pious and righteous. There's no such thing as you're from this country or that country. Well, all Muslims, you're all believers, we should love one another. It's not that because you are this or that from that country, I should differentiate between, you know, the, that. This is from the Jahiliyyah. And the Prophet was so angry, he says, this is Jahiliyyah, leave it. Leave it, this is in Muntina. It's dirty, it's bad, don't do it. But the Prophet was really sad. And then the hypocrites were with them as well. And the head of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, his name is Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was amongst them. And then he goes and he says, huh, you see? It's like, you know, because he's from the Ansar. He's Ansari. And he says, this is like when you have a dog, and then you feed your dog, and your dog bites you. What did he mean here? You have a dog, and you feed your dog, and your dog that you have fed and taken care of, he bites you. Who is he? What is? Who does he mean here? He means? Huh? He means who? Someone good, but who does he mean? Huh? The Muhammad as-salam and the Muhajireen. You know, you feed like they, we hosted them, we were nice to them, and look what they did to us. So the Prophet Muhammad as-salam, you know, he heard that, and then there was things happening between the Muhajireen and the Ansar. The Prophet was really upset. So he told them, let's go. And they departed to go to Medina. And he traveled the whole day. He didn't stop. And then he only stopped to pray. They were saying, maybe we will rest, you know, after Zuhr. They did not rest. They prayed and then they moved on. After Asr, they stopped and they prayed Asr. Maybe he will stop, you know, after the Maghrib. He prayed Maghrib and then he told them, let's go. And then they kept walking again and traveling until they reached Isha. They prayed Isha and then the Prophet told them, keep on going. And they were really tired. Some of them are walking, most of them are walking. And some were riding, but the majority were walking. What is the Prophet's intention? He did not want them, he wants to busy them. He wants to tire them because he does not want these rumors to spread. He does not want the fight, you know, to break up between the Sahaba. He wants them to get really tired. So they said, okay, now it's Isha time, we're gonna go sleep. They prayed Isha, the Prophet told them, get up, we're moving. And they traveled and traveled until Fajr. Until Fajr, imagine. They were dead tired and sleepy. They prayed Fajr. This is khalas, now we're going to sleep. Prophet told them, get up, we're going. And they kept on traveling until Duha. Duha time, which is a little bit about sunrise, after sunrise, and then 10 o'clock or so. And they prayed Duha. And the Prophet told them, go to sleep. They all went to sleep. Nobody was talking to nobody. And that's what the Prophet wanted. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, after they got up and they rested, they stood up and they continued their trip to Medina. But something happened there. The Prophet Muhammad, whenever he used to travel, he used to make some, you know, like cast lots between his wives, meaning who's going to travel with me. So he will do what we say in Arabic, Qur'ah. How would you say in English? English is like casting a lot. It's not like gambling, you know. It's, I don't know how you call it in Urdu.
Picking straws?
Yeah. It's not picking straws. Casting lots, but I don't know. I wanted to say how you say it in Urdu.
Random draw.
Huh?
Random draw.
Like random draw? Is that Urdu, man? It doesn't exist in Urdu. You guys don't do this in Urdu. Let's say,
Qurandazi.
You want me to get you into trouble? Let's say you have two wives, and then you're traveling. And then you need to draw between your two wives. Why are you lying? Quran?
Quran.
Daddy. Okay, that one. Quran Daddy. Alright. So the Prophet Muhammad, he draw the lots between his wives. And that time was Aisha's turn to travel with him. So Aisha was traveling with the Prophet, and they used to put sisters, they used to put their, you know, women, whenever they used to travel, they used to put them in what we call in Arabic, the Hamdaj. Hamdaj is like that. Can you see that? It's like a tent on top of a camel. In Arabic it's called What do they call it in Arabic? I just said it. Haldish. Say Haldish. Exactly. MashaAllah. Okay. So it's called Haldish. So Aisha was pretty light. What if they were to stop and rest, they will put the camel down, they will make the camel kneel down, and then they will, you know, help the women to come out, and then, you know, they will raise the haudash, like the tent, they will put the tent down, and then they will move away, so that women will come out and do their things. Aisha was pretty light. So they put the haudash down, Aisha came out doing her thing, she says, I had to go and do my thing in the khala, and then she came back. When she came back, she realized, I forgot, or I lost the necklace, and that necklace didn't even belong to her. It was an amana. So she said, I had to go and look for my necklace. So she started going looking for her necklace. Time was done, you know, for them was to go back and resume their journey to Medina. They came, the man came in, they raised they carried the haudash. The haudash was pretty light because, again, Aisha was pretty light. They did not realize that Aisha was not inside the haudash. They picked the haudash, that tent right there, they put it on the camel, and then they left. Aisha came back. She found that the army was gone. And she said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." I'm sure they're going to realize I'm not there, and then they're going to come back and pick me up. So she sat down, putting her hand on her cheek like this, you know, like she's mosquito. She's like, "Whoa, they're going to leave me alone here." But then she says, I fell asleep. The Prophet Muhammad, whenever he used to travel, he would leave somebody behind, quite behind, far behind. What would be the job of this person? The person that stays behind, what would be the job of that person? Yes. No one follows them? To make sure that no one follows them? Yeah, you are? To make sure that no one gets left behind? Almost, but not there. No.
To pick up the people.
That's it. To pick up what?
If they get left behind?
Well, he just said left behind. To pick up something, you just said to pick up, but you didn't say what I wanted you to say. To pick up what? To pick up what?
The woman.
Oh, to pick up the women. And we all leave women behind us. So there's this guy behind, and he's just going to pick up all these women. May Allah forgive you. What's this? To pick up the women. No! To pick up what? If anybody was to drop anything, lose anything from behind, they will, you know, pick up whatever that's left behind and they will just go on, right? So Prophet Muhammad had that strategy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man by the name of Safwan ibn al-Mu'attil, he was that man at that time. He was coming and then he saw Aisha from far. Aisha, she narrates. Aisha, she says, he knew me before the hijab. This, we can talk so much about this because there's so many lessons. He used to know me before the hijab. You can derive lessons from here. Yani, that they used the hijab was mandatory at that time. Who remembers? Aha! Shall I give you something like the carpet? The sajada?
No.
Sajada? Let me see. When was the hijab been made mandatory?
2069.
Aywa?
I'm Maryam.
Yeah. Maryam?
Maryam.
I think I should. When was the hijab made mandatory? Now she raised her hand. Sister, what? The second year of the hijab. It's very easy. Okay, she's answered. Okay. Here, it's yours. In the second year of the Hijri, it's yours. Takbir! There we go. Mabrur. So, he said he used to know me before the hijab. And he says, I heard him say, because she was asleep. And then She woke up because she heard him say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." To Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. When do you say this statement here? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When somebody passes out. Only when somebody passes out. Here, sister, I'll pass away. You know, this is from Medina. When do you say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? When there's a musibah. What is a musibah? When your wife gets hold of your phone. It's Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When your wife gets hold of your password, this is La hawla wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And you make the whole night cry, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. When you do something, okay, let you do something. You get it? This is when you say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When there's a big musibah. So she said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So she says, by Allah, He did not talk to me. He came, He brought the camel down, He made, I don't know if you've seen how they made the camel kneel down. He put the camel down, and then He turned back. He didn't say a word. Assalamu alaikum, kya hal hai, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? What made you have that back and forth? No salam, no kalam. He just put the camel down, He turned back. Why did he turn back? Because when you ride the camel, you're gonna do this, and then your clothes may show. So he turned, you know, so that he gave her time to climb onto the camel, and then he did the camel, and he walked all the way to Medina, radiallahu anhu. And he said, by Allah, we didn't talk. So they kept coming, traveling, until they reached Medina. In the outskirts of Medina, who was sitting on the outskirts of Medina? It was some Sahabis, but there were some people from the Munafiqeen. Amongst them was Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul himself, the head of the hypocrites. He looked at them, says, "Who's that man coming? Oh, that's Safwan. And who's that one? Oh, Aisha and Safwan. Aisha and Safwan." He says, "I think they've done it." Is what he said. "I think they've done it." What did he do here? He accused Aisha of what?
False.
Of? Zina. Huh? Yeah. Of Zina. Did I already give you something? Here we come. Give another one. Yellow. Of Zina. Na'am. He says, "Ka'anno." They've done it. But he did not say the word. But he just said, they've done it. And then, Hatcha, she says, she felt sick when she came in to Medina. She felt sick. Radiallahu anha wa Allah. Abdullah ibn Salul started the rumors about 700 hypocrites visiting in Medina. The first man who started these rumors, who spread the rumors, Abdullah ibn Salul, the head of the hypocrites. So Aisha, she was oblivious. She did not know what was happening. She was sick because the rumors kept on spreading. People split into two main groups. Some who did not believe, nor believe. Yani they did not say they did it, nor they kept quiet. And some, in fact, they accused Aisha of doing something. Amongst them is Mustah. We're going to talk about him. One of the Sahabis who attended Badr as well. And another one, Hassan ibn Thabit, who was the poet of the Prophet. They actually alluded the terms of committing zina wal-iyadu billah. And some kept quiet. Some did not mention a thing. Radiallahu anhu wa ardahu bi sahaba. What else? Where are we? So, here, Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, the head of the hypocrites, when he was there, when the Prophet was camping, he said something. He says, Muhammad out from Medina. So he said something like this. Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals that. So his son, he heard that as well. His son was great, you know, was a good Sahabi. He went to the Prophet because Umar, he heard this. He says, Ya Rasulullah, let me go and chop off his head. He's a hypocrite. The Prophet says, don't do that, Ya Umar. We're not here to kill people. Leave him, Ya Umar. And then Abdullah, his son came, he says, Ya Rasulullah, if you want to order anybody to kill my father, you tell me. My father, because otherwise I'm gonna go and kill that person. He is definitely a hypocrite, Ya Rasulullah. So let me, the Prophet says, we're not here to kill him. No, we're not killing nobody. But Abdullah, the son, he went and he stood in front of the gates of Medina. When his father came, he says, No. You are the Adad, and the Prophet is Al Az. You are the less honorable one, and the Prophet is the honorable one. I'm not going to let you go in until an honest Prophet Muhammad gives you permission to go inside Medina. So he was really angry. He sat down, and then when he saw Safwan, and then he saw Aisha, he spread that rumors. But something really happened here, my brothers and sisters. I want to tell you about this slandering. Why slandering is considered to be from the deadly sins. Some of us, maybe, Allah forbid, a lot of Muslims do this, and they don't even realize. What are the seven deadly sins, major sins, the majors of the majors, the greatest of the greatest? The Prophet Muhammad says, number one is shirk, meaning associating someone with the worship of Allah. Count with me. Number one is associating someone with the worship of Allah. One major sin. Second major sin, sorcery. Sorcery, what do we call that in Arabic? As-sihr. Sihr. Number two. Number three, killing a life that Allah has forbidden. Killing is considered to be a major deadly sin. Killing, number three. Number four, usurping the wealth of an orphan. يعني أكل أموال اليتامى. يعني the wealth of an orphan, you have to behold of the wealth of the orphan. So those who waste the wealth of an orphan is also considered to be, you know, a major sin. Number five, taking interest. Riba, usury. Don't tell me the sheikh give me the fatwa. The fatwa came from Allah Azza wa Jal, from above the heavens, with regard to usury and taking interest. Number seven, making false accusations against chaste women. Making false accusations against false women. This is what some of the Sahabis even fed into. Accusing Aisha of committing doing haram. Accusing someone in their chastity. Saying that they have done something like zina wa'iyadu billah. And then fleeing from the battlefield. These are the seven major, common, major sins, my brothers and sisters. So here we're talking about accusing someone against chaste women. What happened here? Surah An-Nur, na'am, came to the rescue. But before that, Umm Mustah trips. Umm Mustah, who's Umm Mustah? Aisha got sick. She did not know what was happening. Prophet Muhammad, he heard the news. The Sahaba heard the news. Some of them were so confused. They did not know. So what happened here? Aisha, she got sick. And then there was this lady by the name of Umm Mustah. Abu Mustah, the mother of Mustah. Mustah is the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was a good Sahabi, but he fell into, you know, these rumors, and he believed the rumors. So what happened? When Aisha was walking, she tripped. Oh, look, Aisha. Umm Mustah, she trips. And then when she trips, you know, sometimes when you go on your trip, some people, they say bad words. Some people, they say that fertilizer word. You know, Umm Mustah says, you know, she cursed her son. She cursed her son. And then Aisha says, how can you curse your son? Haram alaik. How can you curse your son? What would you curse your son? He's amongst those who attended Badr. And then she says, didn't you know what he said about you? She says, what did he say about you? About me? And then Umm Mustah, she tells the story, the entire story to Aisha. Aisha, she was oblivious. She did not know nothing. She was not aware. And then she told her, she says, oh, this is why Prophet Muhammad was acting a bit weird lately. Because Prophet Muhammad, she says, whenever I used to get sick, he would, you know, pamper me. He would, you know, spend time with me. But all he was doing, he says, Salaam alaikum, Aisha, kif halak? Kya hal hai? Salaam alaikum, kya hal hai? That's what he used to say. You know, she noticed something, but she also noticed that the Prophet Muhammad's reaction was a little bit changed. Attitude was changed, but she did not know why. Now she knows. So she goes back home. She says Prophet Muhammad was like, you know, on his, you know, sitting and being quiet, thinking. He was thinking definitely about what was happening. So she told him, Ya Rasulullah, can I go to my mom's house to be nursed there? The Prophet told her, you can go. And then she went into her mother's home. Mom, do you see what people are saying? Dad, you see what people are saying? Yes, we know. Prophet Muhammad knows. They said, yes, he knows. Amen. No, it's not you. Where's Mama? Where's Mama? All stand up and hug each other quickly until we figure something out here. But come. Hug up and hug each other. Quickly, inshallah. Who's the father? Come on, Akhi. Take your son next to each other. Hugging each other. We found out. Yellow. Alright. Almost done. MashaAllah. Almost done. MashaAllah. Almost done. MashaAllah. Almost done. MashaAllah. Look what you're crying. Don't cry. Alright. Almost done, MashaAllah. Sit down. And then Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he inquires, he goes, even Prophet Muhammad now, because for 1 month, sisters, listen, brothers, listen, for 1 month, Jibril didn't come down with any news from the heavens, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad, you know, is waiting for some revelation from some Quran, from something to, you know, to tell them what happened. But Prophet Muhammad, no, that didn't happen. For 1 month, it was really tough on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was tough on the Sahaba, and it was tough on who? On Aisha. Other than Aisha, Aisha was, she says, I was crying day and night. It was tough on Bakr. Who said Abu Bakr? Who said Abu Bakr first? It was tough on Abu Bakr and his wife, the mom, the dad. Our daughter, she's been accused of doing something haram. Imagine, with Prophet Muhammad, this is the daughter of the Prophet. This is the wife of the Prophet. So the parents were also in a terrible condition. You could imagine, not only the Prophet Muhammad, not only Aisha, Aisha was crying day and night. How can they say something about me? You know, how can they say something about me? And then the mom will say, if, you know, inshallah, Allah will reveal something to, you know, to show your innocence. Be patient. So the Prophet Muhammad, he goes. Then he starts asking people. He goes into the minbar. Or before that, he goes and he inquires from Umm Ayman. Umm Ayman, she was close to Aisha. And then he inquires from Zainab bint Jahsh, the other wife of the Prophet. What do you know about Aisha? Have you seen anything? He said, Prophet Muhammad is asking. Has she been acting weird? Did you see anything different? He said, Wallahi ma na'lamu fiha illa khaira. We don't know nothing but good. We don't only but good. He didn't say nothing. There's only no anything but good about Aisha. So he goes and he asks Usama ibn Zayd. And then he asks Ali. Usama says, you know, Ya Rasulullah, she's a good woman. I don't know, she's a good woman. And then Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, there's so many women. If you don't, just divorce and go marry somebody else. Ali. Umar says, Ya Rasulullah. Oh, what a beautiful thing about Umar. This is why I love Umar. This is why I named my son Umar. I love the personality of Umar. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, who told you to marry Aisha? Who told Prophet Muhammad to marry Aisha?
Allah.
If Allah Azza wa Jalla told you to marry her, do you think she would? Allah, here we go. Allah, here. Allah, khalas, ha? Ya Allah. No garbage. You promised me no garbage, no trash. Allah. Ha? He says, if Allah has told you, ordered you to marry her, you think she's going to do something wrong? Ya Allah. And then the Prophet says, Ya Umar, don't tell them. Go and tell the people. Tell them. Show the innocence of my wife. And then the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, he comes to minbar. He says, oh people, There is a man, he's talking about Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. He is a man, he's speaking, you know, against my own family. He is a man who's accusing his own family. And he's speaking about Safwan, يعني a man with Safwan. And I know him, and I know nothing bad about this man. You know, I only know he's a good man, Safwan. He also participated in the Battle of Badr. And then one of the Aus from the Khazraj, in fact, he stood up, he says, Ya Rasulullah, if he's from us, we shall kill him. But if he's from other brothers, yani the Aus, we shall go and chop off his head. And then the guy from the leader from the Aus to him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, no, you can't chop off, we will chop off your head. And then a big fight again happened between the Aus and the Khazraj, between the two Ansar, not the Muhajirin now, the Ansar themselves, like the Khan and the Siddiqi, like the Chaudhry and the Pakans, I don't know. You know, among their brothers. And then they started fighting with one another. And then the Prophet again was so upset. He says, you're doing this again and I'm present with you. This is from Jahiliyyah. Go back home. Go back home. Go back. Khalas, go back. And then he went back home and he was again really tired and really sad. So disappointed. Even the Sahaba, now they're fighting about this. And then, like I said, there were a few things that happened between the Sahaba. Some believed, some did not believe, some kept quiet. Amongst them is Abu Ayyub and his wife. So Abu Ayyub told his wife, listen sisters, you gotta like this. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, he told his wife, he says, what do you know about Aisha? She says, wallahi, I know nothing but good about her. Do you think Aisha would do something like that? Yani she will commit haram? She says, la wallah, she won't. Then he said, then Aisha, she's better than you. No, I'm sorry. He says, would you do something like that? Would you do it? Would you do haram? She says, no Allah, I would not. Then he says, then Aisha, she's better than you. But you think she will let this one go? The wife, you think she will let this one go? She says, what do you know about Safwan? What do you know about Safwan? He says, wallahi, now he's saying, he says, wallahi, I know nothing but good about him. He says, would you do it? He said, no, I would never do it. He says, then Safwan is better than you. Safwan is better than you. If Aisha is better than me, then Safwan is better. These are the people who spoke good. You know, the example of some people who spoke good. Then, Suratul Nur comes and clears Aisha of the slander. Suratul Nur, I want to talk a little bit about Suratul Nur, but let me tell you what happened. Aisha was crying day and night, so much so that Prophet Muhammad went to her in their home now. Abu Bakr is there, and Umar, and the mother is there. And then Aisha was there. And then Prophet Muhammad told her, Ya Aisha, if you've done it, seek istighfar, seek forgiveness, Allah will forgive you. She was really upset. She was crying. All of a sudden, you know, the tears went up. You know, women, they understand this thing. They're crying and then you tell them something better. Well, all this crying, where's the crying? Where are the tears? Dry it. No more tears. Say hi, guys. He says, wallahi, I will not seek istighfar. If I had said that I have done it, maybe it would be this. But I have not, I'm not going to seek istighfar. I'm only going to say what, then she forgot the name. She forgot the name of who. She says, what Abu Yusuf. Abu Yusuf, his name is? Abu Yusuf, not the name. What's his name? Yaqub. She forgot Yaqub. She wanted to say Yaqub. She forgot Yaqub. She says, I will only say what Abu Yusuf said. The father of Yusuf said, Sabrun Jameel. Wallahu al-musta'an ala ma tasifun. A beautiful patient. I'm going to just show patience. And then she was crying and she went. And then all of a sudden, while all this was happening, Prophet Muhammad started shaking. He started shaking. And then he was sweating. Allah. When does that happen? What's happening here? Whenever you start shaking and sweat starts coming down, Jibreel comes down with the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. With the innocence of Aisha. What I'm saying here, Umar and Ali, four witnesses. Four witnesses, this is what four witnesses said. Umar one time, he came and he says, I saw a woman and a man do it. I saw with my eyes and I heard with my ears. Ali told him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you have four witnesses? He says, I saw with my eyes and I heard with my ears. I saw them do it. He says, you have four witnesses. If you don't have four witnesses, we shall beat you and beat you. 80 lashes. 80 lashes. matches. I saw with my own eyes, I saw them, and I heard them. He says, if you mention, now Ali's telling Omar, he says, if you mention their name, wallahi, Najd will beat you up. Anas and Anthony have four witnesses. This is how important that is. You cannot accuse a woman or man of committing haram. Anas and Anthony have these witnesses. The Prophet Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ. Not one, not two, not three. Four shuhada means four witnesses. فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً. فَجْلِدُوهُمْ. And those who accuse chaste women of adultery and fail to produce four witnesses, give them 80 lashes each. This is why Ali was telling Umar, if you don't bring four witnesses, wallahi, we will give you 8 lashes. And do not ever accept any testimony from them. No, this is with regard to those who accuse, yani committing slander. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. Allah is talking about Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sa'lul. And here he says, indeed those who came up with that outrageous slander. Who are we talking about? That outrageous slander. Who started the outrageous slander? The head of the... Come on. The head of the hypocrites. He's the one who started. So Allah is saying, and those who came up with that outrageous slander are a group of you. Do not think this is bad for you. Because it's 1 month. It was too long. And this is another Allah. What can I give you? What can I give you? 1, 2, 3, 4. This is an evidence of what? This is an evidence of what? 1 month. There was no news from the heavens. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Jibril didn't come. What? And this is regarding Prophet Muhammad. Honor is my wife. What does it prove to you and I? What does it prove? What does it prove? It proves something. Believe in Allah?
No.
It proves what? The power of talent?
Silent.
Of last week? That? He did not? MashaAllah Ali. Prophet Muhammad did not write Quran with his own hands. Yani he is truly a prophet. It's my wife. Why do you have to wait 1 month for all this terrible thing to be dragging and the sorrow and the sadness and the fighting? Go write something down and prove the innocence of your wife. 1 month, he's indeed Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you go give the auntie in the back? Takbir! You see, women, they say women are smarter than men. Do you think, do you agree? You think women are smarter than men? Just say yes, because in the masjid we cannot lie, but it's okay here. Just say yes, inshallah. Slander a group of you. They will be punished. They will be punished. So they brought Mustah, he slandered. And they brought Abdullah ibn Ubay. No, they did not. They did not slash him. Why he did not? Abdullah ibn Ubay Suzalul. They did not beat him up. They did not lash him. No, 80 lashes. Why? He didn't mention. He didn't say. He says, I think they've done it. Right? He didn't say they did it. But the others, they said they did it. So Hassan ibn Thabit and Mustah ibn Mustah. I forgot his last name. Subhanallah. They both got lashed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, those who love to see indecency spread among the believers, spreading rumors, spreading, you know, this type of slandering, will suffer a painful punishment in this life and the love of the hereafter. وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. A true story. Many true stories, but I can share quickly one with you. A man who accused a woman, he called this phone number a long time ago. He called home, and then the little boy picked up the phone. Who's home, Baba? Mom, where's your dad? My dad is at work. What's Mama doing? Mama, she's doing this, she's doing that. What is she wearing? She's wearing this, she's wearing that. And then he picked up the phone and he called the husband. I want to tell you something. You don't know me, but I'd like to tell you something because, you know, and I know you're from the masjid. Please don't ask of me, but I'm just telling you something. You can go and check yourself. Your wife is cheating on you. There are people, I don't know if they're people or animals or jinns or I don't know. Wallahi dalila, it is happening. It was in the news everywhere. It happened. So, and he described, you can go and check. She's wearing this, she's there, she's cooking this. She's, and then he goes, and then he found his wife, exactly how she was described. And he told her, you are Talaq. And he fainted. Why Talaq? What did I do? What? Fainted. The whole house was being put upside down, waliyadu billah. So this is accusing, this is considered to be a major sin. Don't say nothing. Keep your tongue to yourselves, my brothers and sisters. Learn to forgive. I want to hold this one until next week. Why learn to forgive? Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa'adha, he used to sponsor, he used to support financially Mustah. Mustah, that guy who slandered, who accused his daughter. Abu Bakr, and then you have his daughter. You have Mustah who accused the daughter. And I used to sponsor him. I used to financially help him. This is, and then Abu Bakr was so angry. He says, how shall I keep on helping him and supporting him? I'm not going to do that no more because this is my, this is how he pay back the good. I've been so good to him. And then instead of being good to me, he's slandering my daughter. And then Abu Bakr says, I will no longer support him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah all about forgiveness, all about pardoning one another. And this we can talk about a lot, my brothers, because we can all relate to this. Sometimes people, they don't want to forgive. Sometimes people, they don't want to let go. Sometimes people, they don't want to pardon. You don't know what they have done to me. My family don't know what they have done to me. My family, they took my wealth. My family, they took my inheritance. My family, this. And they stop talking to one another. I tell you, can you be like Abu Bakr and his forgiveness towards the man who used to, in fact, support and financially help, and he accused his own daughter of committing zina, yet he went back and he helped him and he says, nah, I choose to pardon, I choose to forgive. What is the story? What really happened? Inshallah ta'ala, not next week. Next week inshallah we're going to meet again inshallah, because we have that very special event, as I mentioned, story time with the performance from the Jannah group and some songs and whatnot, inshallah ta'ala. That will be next week. Make sure you guys come inshallah ta'ala. But before you go, I want to give away this. And I want to give away, last week was the brothers who got the Zamzam. Now is the sister's turn who will get the Zamzam inshallah. So go give the sister the Zamzam. And they will go, you know, and share it with each other. They don't want it.